This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah. Walhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون احسنه اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send peace and blessings on his noble messenger, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again humbly to open our hearts to his remembrance, to make sure that our hearts are prepared to receive the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may he imprint them on our hearts permanently with the reality of his kalam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who listen to the words of admonition and follow the best of them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the hearing channels of our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us truth as the truth and to help us to follow it, and to show us falsehood as falsehood and help us to stay away from it. Ameen. So we are going to continue in the early Meccan surahs. We have been following them somewhat in the order in which they were revealed. So we are still in the early Meccan period. The Prophet ﷺ has started his da'wah effort, his invitation to Islam. There is a lot of opposition. There is a handful of followers. People are trying to snuff out this message with accusations against Rasulullah ﷺ. And the early Muslims are having a difficult time because of family ties. People are persecuting them, ridiculing them. And yet they are finding strength in the real-time revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending through the Quran. That is what is giving them strength to deal with this difficult situation that they are facing. So we're going to cover that early surah, which is called At-Takwir, which is surah number 81, essentially means the folding up of the sun. I think I mentioned last time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you know, he was the most handsome of men, and he had very dark, thick hair down to his shoulders. So towards the end of his life, one day Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anh and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh were sitting with him, and suddenly Abu Bakr as-Siddiq noticed and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, you have white hair." He couldn't believe it. At this time, Abu Bakr, who was younger, already had plenty of hair and had lost most of them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Surah Hud and its sisters have made my hair gray. In other words, the sisters of Surah Hud are Surah Al-Waqi'ah, that you know, Surah Mursalat, An-Naba, and Takwir, the surah that we are covering. Because they deal with very serious situations of Qiyamah. And there are many things in there that if a person actually takes it to heart, they'll probably die, because it's such a scary situation. And the Prophet ﷺ also taught us that whoever wishes to see the Day of Judgment as if they were looking at it with their own eyes should read At-Takwir, which we are covering, Al-Infitar and Inshiqaq. These are next to each other, 81, 82, and 84, because they describe in detail what's going to happen. So early on in Revelation, before any commandments, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is building the iman of the people, putting out a message for all of humanity as to what is going to happen in the future, so that they may lead their lives in a way that is conducive to the purpose for which they were created, which is the ubudiyah, or worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are two main themes. The first 14 ayahs deal with resurrection, with qiyamah and resurrection, the day of judgment. And the last part of it has to do with the revelation. So what is going to be mentioned in the first? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to describe some super catastrophic events which will bring to an end the perfect harmony and equilibrium that we see in this universe, which Allah created, and which runs by the laws of Allah. And we frequently say the laws of nature, but we should be careful what we mean by that. It is not the laws of nature in nature, of nature. It is the laws of Allah in nature. Nature is nothing but the execution of the laws of Allah. Okay, so when we loosely say, oh, nature did this, nature is nothing. So we must remember that we attribute all the laws to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to nature itself. So life as we know it in this four-dimensional universe that we live in has laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. That's why everything is running in perfect harmony. And we have no clue about what is going on and how this thing runs. It's just the scientists cannot come up with the equations of how all of this gravity is and balance and all of this goes on in the universe, and nothing happens perfect. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erase all of these laws that have been running for billions of years with new laws which will supersede and override these, so that all of this will be brought to an end. And that is going to herald the day of judgment, the end of the universe as we know it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us early on not to be deluded by the permanency of what we see. The earth looks permanent. The sun has been around 4.6 billion years, looks permanent. We can predict moons 50 years from now. We can predict sunrises, sunset. All of this looks like perfect. So why would it not continue? And scientists tell us today that it cannot continue, because they talk about the energies that are being consumed to make all of this happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the one who decreed all of this to exist as it does also has decreed that all of it will come to an end. Kullu man alayha fan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says everything will be brought to nothing. Which means there is no escape. There is no shelter, there is no safety, except with Allah. So early on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stressing to us that we have a responsibility. We have to live here responsibly. We have a responsibility to ourselves, because one day we will be brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one by one and asked how responsibly we lived, what kind of law-abiding citizens we were on the earth of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the first part to prepare for that responsibility. And the second part of this has to do with revelation. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, you want to live responsibility? Then look at the revelation, the Quran, and the risala of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in the second part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certifies and authenticates the message of the Quran so that there is no doubt about it. And he gives a stamp of authenticity to his two messengers, the truthful and Amin in the heavens, which is Jibreel alayhi salam, the archangel, not any other angel, and to the best of human beings of creation on the earth, which is Al-Amin, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is what it is all about. Have no doubt about it. So this surah starts with 12 conditional clauses, which starts with idha, when such and such thing happens. If, and as we said, this if is an if of certainty, just telling us when in time it will happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with 12 conditions that when these happen, then something will happen. These are called shurut, or conditions, shart. So jumal of shartiya means conditional clauses or sentences which say, if this condition happens, if this condition is fulfilled, if this condition, then what will happen? So at the end of 12, there is what's called jawab or shart. Means, what if all this happens? What is the end? What is the purpose? That we will come to. So the first 6 of these 12 have to do with the day of judgment before it is established. It's the breakup of the system that we have. The last 6 are on the day of judgment itself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this, and as we mentioned last time, that we should take everything in the Quran literally. Sometimes there is a clear indication that it is metaphoric, majazi. You know, it's something, you know, you can ponder, but otherwise it's safest. If Allah says this will happen, just take it literally as that. Okay? How it will happen, that is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Scientists give us some indications. From our current knowledge, we can have some ideas, and we'll talk about that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the surah, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Idha shamsu kuwirat. Idha shamsu, when the sun is kuwirat. The word kuwirat means folded. When we tie an imama, it is called kuwirat. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the sun is folded. How it is going to be folded is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also means that it will darken, it will lose its light. Okay? Do stars die? We know they die. Some stars become what are called little red dwarfs. They lose their energy. Some stars implode internally, and the energies produced cause the protons and electrons to fuse, and only neutrons are left, what we call neutron stars. Very strong pulls, no light. And then ultimately there are some, when they explode, they produce such energy that they produce what we know as black holes. The amount of energy that not even the photons can escape, so it's all absorbed in there, there's no light coming out. Therefore they are black holes. So we already have examples of stars disappearing. Allah is telling us something like that's going to happen to the sun. One day, the sun will burn itself out by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine what would happen. The sun, as you know, has a mass which is 330,000 times that of the mass of the earth. It's got a surface temperature which is measured in Kelvin scale of 5,778 degrees, which is like 5,500 degrees Celsius. This is just the surface temperature, not the core temperature. Now, when this explodes, or what falls within, what energy forces are going, we know, but you can imagine. It's like trillions and trillions and trillions of atomic bombs going off at one time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the sun will lose its light, it will fold. وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ نَجَمْ star, نُجُوم stars, انْكَدَرَتْ انْكَدَرَتْ means will be dispersed. Right now, everything is running in its set orbits, has gravitational laws that keep everything going perfectly. there is going to be a gravitational disarray. The stars will fly out with nothing. And I imagine you are dark and there are missiles flying all over. And those are stars, they are not little things. These are thousands and millions of times the size of the earth, that they are going to be flying around. Another meaning of inkadarat is something that becomes dark and murky that you can't see. And it's already going to be like that. And there is one other thing that happens with this, which is we have examples of something like this, and we are trying to go about that, where dust and cosmic chaos essentially sort of happens, which is called novas and supernovas, that when they explode, this is the kind of thing that happens. They're flying everywhere, the debris. And the debris is not like what we see here when a mountain is blown up. These are planets. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the stars will lose their light and they will be dispersed all over, flying around. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our attention to the earth. وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. And the mountains, because mountains are mentioned four other places, at least in the Quran, because we see them as strong and firmly grounded on this earth. And they are massive, and if you travel in everywhere, you see these huge mountains, not just Himalaya and here, but everywhere, Alps, and no matter where you go. I was just in Oman, massive mountains. And you go here, mountains everywhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسُيِّرَتِ إِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. Sara suyirat means will be moved around, made to move, that the mountains will be made to move, they'll be set in motion. The firm thing that you see, it's going to make them vanish. The mountains will vanish. Now interestingly, the Prophet ﷺ told us in a hadith that one of the signs towards the end of the Day of Judgment, and he wasn't talking about the Day of Judgment, one of the things leading up, that mountains will be moved from the surface of the earth. How many of you have been to Hajj in Mina? All those plains where the tents are, they used to be mountains. And I've seen, I have stood on top of those mountains, they no longer exist. They were blasted and moved to make this plain. All these hotels that are built here, this new, on Jabal Omar is gone. The human beings have removed mountains from the surface of the earth. This was foretold by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who could have imagined at that time that mountains, human beings are moving it, and we move it all the time. Controlled explosions to make roads and this and that, tunnels. Complete mountains have been removed from Mecca. Complete. They have plains. One time I went after many years, I couldn't recognize. I said, there used to be a mount, there's a small masjid where they took bayah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam behind this little mountain. It's in the middle of a plain. I said, what happened to the mountains? Because I've climbed and sat on and it rained. The mountains are gone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that mountains can be moved. And we, in an earlier surah, Surah Muzzammil, if you remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? وَكَانَتِ الْجِبَالُ كَثِيبًا مَهِيلًا. We will make them flow like dust, remove them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبُسَّتِ الْجِبَالُ بَسَّا. And we will blast them into little dust. They will flow like wool floating around. Mountains will be removed from the surface of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this. Then he says, وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ أُطِّلَتْ. Ishar is a female camel that is pregnant. Ishar from Ashara, which is 10 months pregnant, means ready to deliver. So the female camel that was ready to deliver, was the most precious and valued possession of the Arabs, because she was going to give you another camel and she would produce a lot of milk and all of this. It was like the ultimate possession of the time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and when that 10-month pregnant camel, uttilat. Uttilat means made useless. It is neglected. Nobody cares. Nobody tends to it. That the most valuable of possessions will become meaningless. Nobody will do anything about it. So that was at that time. You can sort of correlate it with our time, because we are not in the camel age, but our most valuable possessions will hold no value. You're not going to be protecting them or safeguarding them. Why? Because of the terror of what is going on. Some of the people have also translated this as thinking that perhaps this is before it comes, that those valuable camels would become not that valuable. Perhaps. What do you mean by that? What is the value of camels today? Not much, because their job has been taken over by automobiles and so on and so forth. So perhaps, I'm not saying it is, but you can reflect, it was an indication of things to come that the value system will change. But most of the commentators of the Quran have said, this talks specifically about that, that it will hold no value. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. And when the wild beasts will be gathered together. Lions with gazelles. Tigers with cows. In other words, they will forget about their enmity. The wildest of beasts will be standing scared next to things that they would normally eat and not allow to survive. And the ones who would run from them, the gazelle would be standing next to the lions, not afraid of the lion, but afraid of everything that's going on. So now imagine if the wildest of beasts would be so scared, the predators, what would be the condition of human beings? وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. Because the laws that Allah has put, the moment the lion sees a gazelle, he goes after it. The moment the gazelle gets an idea that a lion is coming, he's running and jumping over everything. All of that is brought to an end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. And the bahar, the oceans, سُجِّرَتْ. Now there are two meanings of سُجِّرَتْ. One, سِجَّار means made to explode, burn. Water extinguishes fire. Allah is saying the oceans will be set aflame. In the next surah that's after this, Infitar, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ, which made to explode, made set ablaze. How is that going to happen? It's known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we have examples of something like that? Yes, we do. You see the under ocean volcanoes. When they erupt, the water doesn't extinguish them. You see the fire coming out. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could do many other things. He could separate the hydrogen and oxygen and make it all flammable. He says it will be made to explode. There is another meaning of sujjirat, which is something that overflows. You fill this to the degree that it starts overflowing, that the oceans will overflow. Now we have some suggestion of that today. What is that? It's called global warming. That's what they are saying, that if these caps, you know, the Arctic and Antarctic continue to melt and these glaciers disappear, the water levels of the oceans will rise, that many of the major cities are going to be underwater. That's just from human effect. Allah is saying that He is going to make this happen. And the Prophet ﷺ told us in a hadith that every day the oceans ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be given permission to overrun the land because of the disobedience of human beings on earth. That the oceans feel this and they cannot tolerate that Rabb is being disobeyed. They want to wipe everybody out by flooding the whole earth. Yet Allah does not give them permission. But one day will come when He will. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. So today, we have many examples. We see mountains moving. We see volcanoes that blow off the tops. We see earthquakes that shake the earth. We have tsunamis that come and take things. These are mini catastrophic events compared to what's going to happen. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us this to make us aware that yes, it can happen. That this is a prelude to what will really happen in the end. Everything that is recognizable will be changed beyond recognition. The laws will completely change. So after saying this, this is all leading up to the first blowing of the trumpet. When that trumpet is blown, and I'm just saying this, don't take it like that, and it's just sur, all of this system will end. Jazakallah khair.